everybody, how you doing? And welcome to the latest Snogcast. Remember, of course, if you don't subscribe to the Snogcast, you can do it for free at iTunes. Coming up on this week's edition, we talk about singing toilets and the tunes they should play as you go. Also, Tom Cruise makes us laugh. How many times can that guy say the same word in one statement? We count them out. Barack Obama is a topic of conversation as he takes office at the White House, but what cookies will his wife Michelle make? We also discuss how my memory well and truly sucks, half-price Valentine's Day, the pitch toss at the Super Bowl, and I realise how I can get my hands on one of my all-time favourite TV shows. It's all coming up on this week's Snodcast.
97.4 Cool FM.
Snodcast.
Now, when it comes to Little Chef, apparently there was one in Swords not far from Dublin Airport a few years back. I can't actually remember that. But anyway, if you watched the Hess and Blumenthal thing last night on Channel 4, it was very, very good. But the big revolutionary thing, apart from the menu and stuff, and this is actually what I wanted to say to you, you're not going to find out whether his changes are going to be a success for 3 months. And if they are a success and profits rise, then the people who own the company are going to roll out his format across every single one of them.
Oh, so it's only being done in one Little
only
Chef?
Only being done in one.
One out of how many hundreds?
Exactly. But
What changes? What's the menu like? Can you give us an idea of what's on the menu?
Oh, well, it's all the ingredients are better. So if it's like fish and chips, it's like proper thick-cut, chunky handmade chips and proper lovely batter and lovely fish and all the ingredients are just much better. And so in other words, what the problem is the guy that owns the place is sort of, he's a wee bit, you know, annoyed because, you know, obviously he has to spend more on ingredients and stuff. And Hessen's saying, well, don't worry, it's going to come back in terms of the amount of revenue you're going to get, and we're going to get loads of profit. So they're going to give him 3 months, and if that works for them, then they're going to roll out across the whole empire. But the thing which gets me about this particular restaurant is the fact that they have these singing toilets, ladies and gentlemen. So whenever you sit down in the seat, it plays your wee tune.
Yeah.
And whenever you stand at the urinal, it plays your wee tune. So we're sort of thinking about, you know, because I reckon this is going to catch on. I reckon restaurants up and down the country, and whenever people are doing refits now, are going to catch on to this and going to get the sing and lose in.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
So what tunes would you want while you're going? So I was thinking, okay, what about TLC Waterfalls?
Uh-huh.
Particularly when you're standing there at the urinal.
Uh-huh.
That could work for you.
I thought Flash. Whoa.
But then you could do that there, but you could actually change the words. So whenever you stand up off the seat, it goes flush. But Stephanie, right, is really on the wavelength here with this one, ladies and gentlemen. Well, she's gone back to the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine, you know, you're sitting on the seat and whatnot. But she's gone back to the 90s and she's thought about how about the cranberries whenever you're sitting on.
Oh, you have to let it linger.
Do you have to let it linger?
Snodcast.
If you saw the Hess and Blumenthal show last night on Channel 4 about revamping a Little Chef, he put new toilets in that sing to you in the new restaurant. And I thought this is absolutely brilliant. And you know, it's about choosing the correct tune for the right occasion.
Yeah.
And we've been thinking about it particularly, okay, as Kirsty would say, when the toilet roll runs out, what tune would you be playing?
Shake Your Ass.
I see you, baby.
Shaking that ass.
Very good. I like that. But my favourite so far today, okay? This is one for the urinal, okay? And you haven't given me your name, but this takes me back to the good old days whenever Tim Lovejoy was on Soccer AM and he used to walk the catwalk every single week. And he used to play this tune, which I think would be quite appropriate for the urinal, ladies and gentlemen.
The big stuff. Who do you think you are? It's the big stuff. You're never gonna get
Jane Knight, Mr. Big Stuff. That is the tune you want
that
on there.
That would put a smile on all of their faces.
Absolutely.
Even if they had a little bit of a complex thing going on. Do you know what I mean?
I think I might send that suggestion to Hessen. Care of channel4.com. Heston, next one you open, okay, make sure Mr. Big Stuff's playing the urinals.
Yeah,
that is the one.
That should be the
chain. That is the one.
Snodcast.
Let's get straight to your breakfast biz this morning. And last night, Tom Cruise braced the red carpet in London for the launch of his new movie, Valkyrie.
Yeah, he may not be able to get to hang out with his mate as much as he's used to, but he's happy for David Beckham playing for AC Milan. He's on loan, as you know, to the football club and is temporarily living in England. Tom, who often goes to watch the LA Galaxy matches, reckons it's a good move.
I'm glad he's playing for Milan. You know, it's great. He's playing great over there, and it's great for him, you know. I think it's great.
How many times can he say great in one sentence? Let's count, shall we?
I'm glad he's playing for Milan. You know, it's great. He's playing great over there, and it's great for him, you know. I think it's great.
Is that not one of his lines from a film? I can hear him saying, oh, that's great. I mean, that's really great. What's that out of? Which film, which Tom Cruise film is that out of?
Great.
I don't know. What is it, Tom?
Great.
Right, Take That have renewed their appeal for Robbie Williams to rejoin the band.
Great.
The boys say he's still one of them despite the group quitting I should say, in 1995. They've also confessed to feeling guilty for not noticing Robbie was going off the rails. And Victoria Beckham has made it back to the front cover of Vogue for a third time.
Great.
The mum of three first appeared on the British version in April last year.
Great.
And she's been a cover girl for the Indian Vogue.
Great.
Now she's making her appearance, her debut, on the Russian Vogue front cover.
Great.
Thank you, Tom. What do you make of this morning's breakfast bits, Kirsty?
Oh, I thought it was great.
Great.
Snodcast. We were doing the lunch picks yesterday for our Cash for Kids charity, ladies and gentlemen, that we went on about before Christmas. It was quite nice to get everybody.
It's not very often we all get all together.
Yeah, everyone who works in the building together into one place at the one time. It was quite nice.
Yeah.
And then home time. I went to home to try and get some sleep yesterday afternoon because I really felt rough yesterday. It was just like that horrible feeling of just really dodgy stomach, lack of sleep, just knowing that you've just abused your body and it's just turning around and going, stop, after the weekend I had. So thankfully I went home, I didn't get much sleep. I watched all the Barack Obama stuff pretty much. And the Americans know how to do it, don't they?
They do. To be honest, I didn't watch any of it. I wasn't in until quite late.
Well, no, I have to say, I was certainly taken in, and they all weighed out. Like, there was thousands, I think it was about 2 million people or something weighed in to watch it.
Are you serious?
On the streets of Washington. It was unbelievable.
Imagine how many people were watching it worldwide, though.
Oh, aye. Yeah, they had cameras everywhere in the world watching people watching it.
Really?
Yeah. So they zoomed
that
in.
That was worthwhile, wasn't it?
So they zoomed in a bar in, like, let's say, wherever it was, and there's punters in the bar.
Probably Dublin if it's a bar.
Watching
Please
it.
Don't take that the wrong way. It doesn't mean to make. I don't mean to make offence.
No, it could have been. But, it could have been Belfast. Could have been anywhere. We're all the same.
Yeah, but it would just be typical. You know, that's sort of how everybody else perceives the Irish.
Correct.
And Northern Irish as well.
And do you know why?
Why?
Because it's the truth. That is why. Well, listen, I'm a typical...
I don't think it is.
I'm a typical example of that. And it's just the way it is, because... no, because seriously, it's a social thing for me. It's not to do with drinking loads of booze. It's a social thing. I love going to the pub. It's one of my favourite places in the world. Why? Because you get to see people and you get to have a chat and a bit of crack. And it's the best place in the world to do it. I don't care. That is just the way it is.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you're saying that's the way the rest of the world perceives us. Well, yes, that's probably true. And why not? Just dropped my spoon now off the desk.
Oh, no. 10 second rule. Quick, pick it up. No. I'm not going upstairs getting another one.
I'm going to go upstairs and get another one. There's no way. We use disposable cutlery in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. So it saves us going back up to give it over to Rebecca, who works in our kitchen, to get it washed. So it just means we can put it in the bin and go.
In fairness, there's no choice at this time of the morning. All the proper cutlery's locked away.
Is it?
Yes.
Who the hell's going to steal it anyway?
Knives go missing all the time.
Why shop?
I'm not joking. Do you remember at Christmas, there were a big Christmas dinner in here, which is yummy?
Yes.
She's lucky. She bought some cutlery and stored it away. Forgot about it. Because there wasn't enough, because people keep pinching the cutlery.
Oh, bless. I'm going to get it.
I must admit, I think I've got two knives at home.
Kirsty.
How that happened, I don't know.
Kirsty, that's really bad. You need to
bring them back in.
I was starting to feel guilty. I was going to buy her a 50p set for a fiver. The Beats Northern Breakfast.
Snodcast.
Yesterday, folks, was the inauguration of Barack Obama. We've been talking about this morning. It's in all the papers. Don't know whether you watched the coverage or not of it, but, you know, I thought it was a very special day. The Americans know how to do it. Millions turned out to watch it. I mean, they would have been better sitting at home watching it on the TV. They would definitely have got a better view. But that's here nor there. People had to be there just to see it all happening.
Can you imagine the atmosphere, though? You can't get that from the television.
I know, everyone was standing there going, oh, it's Baltic. Anyway, you know what? You know what? Do you know what was a look of sincerity
what?
Yesterday? Well, after Barack Obama got sworn in, okay...
Yeah,
and they all made their way, you know. I think it was at Capitol Hill, wasn't it? Anyway, they made their way to the back of some building, and they did, right.
So there was where they keep the bins,
right? Okay, so there was him and Michelle, and then there was George W. Bush. Bless him, he didn't get a look in yesterday. At all, sure, he didn't.
He's probably quite glad of that.
Right, so they walked down the steps at the back of the building. Okay. And they all kissed each other, all cheeks, all air kissing. You know what I mean? And then old George and what do you call his missus again? Nancy? No, what's she called?
Oh.
Anyway, George.
She was very quiet.
Yeah, George's mistress and him then hopped on the chopper to go away. Right.
What?
They hopped on the helicopter.
His missus.
Yeah.
Right.
I said mistress. Missus. Yeah. All the same. What's her name again?
What was her name? Was she Cindy as well?
I don't know.
Cindy Bush.
You just know that I'm never going to get a job on Panorama or Newsnight. Right, so anyway, they hopped on the helicopter and the helicopter took off. Do you know what I mean? And Barack and all, he was so sincere. He's been practicing that look for so long as he waved George off. Inwardly, he was going, cheerio, cheerio, cheerio.
Snodcast.
Thank you very much to everybody who's texted the show this morning. With the exception of Sam in Belfast, everybody else knows what the ex-president of the United States wife's called.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Laura.
Of course it is.
Laura Bush. Sam in Belfast thought it was Barbara Bush.
No, it's not Barbara. Babs.
So there you go.
I've looked up Laura Bush's recipes. Following along the theme from earlier on.
For those of you who missed the show earlier on this morning, now this is the situation. Whenever it comes to becoming president of the United States of America, and whenever you're going, you know, the race for the White House, well, your other half has to submit a cookie recipe. It's part of the deal. So, you know, you get the
and
presidency.
And it all comes down to the cookies.
Yeah, you get your presidency on the back of, obviously, people voting for you, and then whether your wife, you know, has made, you know, good cookies. So, those people put in different recipes. So, in a presidential race this year, John McCain's missus, she put in her recipe. But you know what? She didn't make up her own. She ripped it off the internet.
She cheated.
She cheated. And then Michelle Obama, she... presented a recipe for
shortbread cookies
which came from her daughter's godmother. So what is the situation?
Yeah, Laura Bush, she made Texas Governor's Mansion cowboy cookies.
Oh, she's a smart ass. No wonder.
It fits in with where they come from, you see, which is the whole point. This is why the magazine that started this up, because it's all through a magazine. It's to find out what sort of people they are.
Oh, right.
And what their influences are.
Well, what are they called again?
Hers, Laura Bush's, was Texas Governor's Mansion cowboy cookies.
Very good. And you know what that... That sounds quite complex.
It does.
No wonder she didn't have any time to talk. She was always baking cookies.
I know, she's very quiet, Laura.
Very quiet, Laura.
So
I can't believe I didn't even know her name.
She was very good at hot chocolate, though, apparently, as well. 6 tablespoons of sugar?
It's not
yes.
Good.
Do
you know what's even worse? I'm thinking about it, right? No, I'm never, ever, ever in my life going on the Krypton Factor. Do you know why? I watched about 6 hours of CNN streaming live yesterday from Washington and I still couldn't remember her name. Oh, dear. And the observation right now, I'd be rubbish.
Snodcast.
It is official, ladies and gentlemen. January is out of the way. It is now February. Yes.
The year's going far too quick.
There's only been 4 weeks.
I know, but it's flown in.
I know that. But thank goodness, because I normally hate January, folks. I don't know about you. I really, really, really hate January. But this January hasn't been too bad. And now we're into February. All good. And I tell you something, it's only 12 days now to... In fact, it's less than that. It's only 11 days now to the annual play of Angry Anderson, suddenly right here on the show, celebrating Valentine's Day 2009.
Are we going to celebrate it on the Friday or the Monday?
No, on the Friday.
On the Friday. I think we're right.
Because on the Monday, it'll be... over.
And whereas some will be disappointed.
Exactly.
You know, because maybe don't get anything.
Mind you,
every year.
Yeah, but think about it. Maybe we could celebrate on the Monday, and then for those people who
didn't get anything, then that's for them.
Well, yes, and also it may highlight the fact that the cards are then half price in the shops and people could actually purchase them and send them to people, you know, who they wouldn't necessarily spend the full money on a card.
What, like a half price Valentine's
Day? Half price Valentine's Day, yes.
That's a good idea.
You probably get half price chocolates as well.
Yeah.
Ones that are sort of nearly out of date.
And Valentine's teddies and stuff.
Yeah.
They can't sell after Valentine's Day.
Absolutely.
Not at full price anyway. We could do a half price Valentine's Day. Monday, the 16th.
Yeah, we'll see. As much as it sounds good in theory, I don't know whether it'll really catch on. Are you going to send a Valentine's card this year, Kirsty?
I might.
Ooh, you too.
I don't know. Well, I'm not going to tell you, am I?
Oh, so you've got an idea. So in other words, you've picked out...
a couple of possibilities.
Oh, a couple? Are you gonna like send two, and then if one comes back to you, send, ooh, hello.
Yeah, I'll sort of... Up my chances of maybe getting a reply.
What are you going to do?
Send
that?
Out two. I could send out more than two.
Could you really? Do they do boxes of Valentine's cards like they do at Christmas? Snodcast. We had Jordan Sparks on the show last year. Lovely, lovely girl. I was thinking about her last night, because last night the Super Bowl was on, and this time last year Jordan Sparks performed the national anthem at the Super Bowl final. Jennifer Hudson sang last night.
Mm-hmm.
And also... oh, someone else said, but I can't remember. I just switched on and heard all the commentary. I just took forever and a day for that whole thing to kick off. They make this whole big thing out of the coin toss as well. Honestly, there's like 10 people all around the coin toss. And I thought to myself, what is the point?
Doesn't take that many people to toss, does it?
Exactly. No. Just, it only needs two people, one to toss and one to actually look and verify. That is all you need. You don't need 10.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
More chance of it getting stuck underneath someone's foot.
Exactly. So anyway, I didn't...
What sort of coin do they use?
Oh, and do you know the other thing? Yeah, it's a real confusing issue as well.
Right. Is it like a 2p?
No. They have this special coin, okay?
Right.
Which on one side of it is like the Super Bowl symbol, and on the other side is the NFL symbol. Okay.
Right.
So then the actual referee turns around and says, okay, the Super Bowl symbol represents tails and the NFL symbol represents heads.
That doesn't really... What?
Do you know what I mean?
Why don't you just see...
Why don't you just say, who wants the NFL side and who wants the Super Bowl symbol? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it confuses the issue. So I'm surprised never it hit the deck. Someone didn't go, no, which one was heads again? The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show. Snodcast. Good morning, Kirsty.
Good morning, Pete.
Are you well?
Yes. Are you?
Yes, I'm very well, thank you. I've got a question for you.
Right.
Would you say that your chin is a big chin, or would you say that your chin is a small chin? Large or not to be large, that is the question.
I don't think it's large. It depends what way I'm standing. If I've got my head down or start laughing, then I may have more than one. But I think it's quite small. It doesn't go down that far.
That is good news for possible suitors of Kirsty.
Oh, why? Why is that?
Because a new report from scientists this morning is claiming that women with a large chin, they are more likely to be unfaithful than a woman with an average-sized one.
I'm a loyal type, me. Never been unfaithful.
I'm sort of wondering with that new research where Bruce Forsyth comes into the equation. Snodcast. Now, what did we learn yesterday, ladies and gentlemen? Kirsty?
I didn't learn anything. I always have problems remembering what I learned the day before. I think I learned last night that potatoes always take longer to cook than you think they're going to.
Really?
Yes.
Well, what was the specified time frame that you had in mind?
Well, whenever the sausages were ready. Really?
So how long was that, 10 minutes?
No, you can't cook sausages for 10 minutes.
Under the grill?
Yeah.
How long did it take?
Well, I do them long and slow.
Okay.
I would reckon 20 minutes.
20 minutes,
I'd start
okay.
on a number 3, and then towards the end, if everything else is ready, whack it up to number 4.
Right, okay, fair enough. So you put your potatoes in and you think they would have been cooked in 20 minutes?
I chopped them up small, yeah. But then I put the knife in them and they were still crunchy. Can't be good doing mashed potatoes with bits in.
No, you certainly cannot. But 20 minutes for potatoes? I've never in my lifetime known potatoes to take 20 minutes unless you get the microwavable mashed variety.
Oh, no.
4 minutes, hey presto.
Bing. I did think about that. That's what I would have liked, but I couldn't be bothered going to the right shop to get it.
I had sausages last night.
Did you?
And mash and onion gravy.
Nice.
It was beaut. No, I learned yesterday.
What did you learn yesterday?
Well, following on from not actually getting to watch Friday Night with Jonathan Ross on Friday night or on Sunday afternoon, mm-hmm. as normal, I sat down last night to watch Friday Night with Jonathan Ross.
And?
Eddie Izzard was on.
I remember him. I haven't seen him for a while.
No. Did you know that Eddie Izzard lived in Northern Ireland for 4 years?
No.
Neither did I. So I learned that yesterday on Friday Night with Jonathan Ross. Also, guess who else was on last night?
I have no idea.
William Shatner.
Oh!
Who has the best name in showbiz. You know?
Yeah.
You know the way whenever you're at school, I don't know whether this applied to you whenever you were at school, but whenever I was at school, you were called by your last name. Snodden. Sir! Do you know what I mean?
I don't think they do that anymore, do they?
I'm not sure. So whenever I went through the role, it was like, Williamson, Andrews, Snodden, P. Sir. Okay? I'm just imagining William Shatner in school, do you know what I mean? Anderson, sir. Shatner. Yes! anyway, William Shatner was on last night, and they were showing different sort of footage of his career to date. Mm-hmm. And they were showing stuff of, well, they were talking a lot about the Starship Enterprise and Star Trek and all that sort of stuff, and about how famous he is and how people get to know him and whatnot, and when people stop him in the streets and all that sort of stuff. And then they went back to one of Jonathan Ross's favourite programmes, which he said was a guilty pleasure, but I have no problem. I don't feel guilty at all. TJ Hooker was my favourite.
TJ Hooker was great. I watched that.
They showed me a clip, okay, off TJ Hooker. I was absolutely gutted because Heather Locklear was not in the clip.
Right.
But you know what I learned?
What?
The TJ Hooker is available. Complete series 1 and 2 on a box set.
Guess he's getting that for Christmas next year.
I'm hoping I'm going to get it before then. Yes. Brilliant. All my teenage fantasies will come back to the big screen. Snodcast. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Snodcast. You can, of course, catch the show in real time between 6 and 10 weekday mornings at 97.4 Cool FM. Come back for regular updates at www.coolfm.co.uk, or as I said earlier on, subscribe to the Snodcast at iTunes. Have yourself a fantastic day, whatever you're getting up to, and remember, come back soon. See ya.